This episode is dedicated to and in memory of Anthony Bourdain, son of France by blood and lineage, son of New York by residence during his earthly life, and honorary son of Yeovil Josie through travel. Imagine for a moment that you jet off from home to travel the world for an entire year, hopping from airport to airport, airline to airline, meeting new people on the regular, immersed in an array of culinary cultures for an entire year. Then, on your return home, you are told there's a riot going on, except it's not in the streets. This riot is in the form of a virus that has run amok the world over. You are now grounded. You are officially under lockdown. I am Kagiso Mnisi. Join me as I zigzag the globe with the bare minimums that is a bathroom for a recording studio, a laptop, a temperamental internet connection, and sheer curiosity. All being tools to curate thoughts about the COVID-19 period. This is Checking In. On this episode of Checking In, Camille Diao and Christophe Payet are grounded to a halt. After leaving Paris for an entire year on an excursion to see how other people are experimenting with the medium of radio elsewhere in the world, home was where the virus was. Events leading to their forced layover under lockdown starts in Senegal and unfolds as such.
It started during our last months when we were in Senegal. It was growing. Like, it was growing in China. It started like in November, but we didn't hear about it until maybe January. In January, they started to talk about the coronavirus, but it felt very like far away and foreign, you know. When we were in Senegal, in the last few weeks before we came back to Paris, things started to accelerate a little bit. The situation in Europe started to be worse and worse in Italy, then in Spain and France. So we knew we were coming back to a country with the disease, but we didn't realize it was going to be as serious, of course.
Yes, at this time everybody was saying, oh, it's just a disease like another, it's okay.
Yeah, it's
and I think everything changed during 1 week, the week before came back. In 1 week it changed every day.
And in Senegal, there was starting to be a few cases of coronavirus. And so in the last 2 weeks, we were reading the Senegalese news saying that there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cases. And so, yeah, it was getting closer and closer, you know.
But we didn't realize that when we will come back to Paris, it will be this situation, because we thought, okay, there is a disease, but the life is just going on, and we thought that we can go to see our families in the countryside. So just the day before leaving Senegal, we bought some train tickets to go to see our family, and the day after we realized, oh, it will be impossible.
Yeah. When they declared that there was going to be a big lockdown, on Saturday night, everyone went out. We didn't, we stayed home. But a lot of people just went out, went to the bar, like, everyone was, like, partying, like, the last night. And it took maybe 2, 3, 4 days after the official lockdown for people to realize that they really should stay home.
Respect it.
Yeah.
And
now the streets are really empty, but in the beginning, not so much. Empty, yeah.
The shockwave of unemployment has rocked the world tremendously in the corona era, with many industries rendered non-operational due to strict rules around social distancing. For the freelancer, times have never been doubly harder.
For us, it's particular because most of the people, they have to work from home, being locked down, or most of the people also independent workers, they don't have work anymore, so it will be, I think, a complicated situation after the crisis. But for us, we come back from 1 year traveling, and so we had plans, professional plans for the comeback. We had to meet some people to find again some work. For your example,
for me, my first plan when going back to Paris was just to, you know, meet with everyone I knew so I could find new opportunities and propose different projects. So I'm just trying to do that by email, but it's a bit of a standby, and I have to wait until the end of this to get things started again.
And for me, I had the plan coming back to build my own company, my own podcast company and web radio. So in a way, the lockdown is a good thing because I have time to work on my project. So I can write my project, I can work on everything I can do alone by myself. But I'm also a bit in standby because I can't meet any people. I can't meet people I want to work with. I can't meet some potential clients or advertisers or everything. So yeah, I work by myself on my project, my ideas, but I'm looking for the end of this to really start the thing, the project.
Yeah.
Similar to Johannesburg, Paris is renowned for its music festivals, some running for an entire 5 weeks at a go. Many of Camille's and Christophe's confidants are employed by the festival circuit, which generally peaks during the European summer. This summer, things are precarious, save for the cushion offered by the state, if it happens.
So in France, we have many friends who work in the music industry or entertainment, live events industry, so everything is shut down. It's a very complicated situation for all of them because they don't have any work to do. But we are lucky enough in France to have a provident state. So we have a social security and different mechanisms that are thought to help people during this time. So we hope the help is going to be enough for them. We don't know yet how it's going to be exactly, but compared to the US, for example, where they have 3 million people just going to unemployment in 1 week, in France it doesn't happen because we really have the state trying to support the companies and the independent people during the crisis. So we are kind of lucky.
Now it's the spring in France, and it will be soon the summer. So the summer is really the period where you have all the festivals, music festival and everything, and everything is going to be cancelled, and it's very difficult for all the small companies in the music,
venues,
the venues, or for all the venues. It's very, very complicated, and they are wondering if they can survive this crisis.
The never-ending media updates about the number of infections and deaths are unavoidable during this time. That said, overexposure is enough to depress.
Don't want to read the news every day because it makes me too anxious, really. I'm really anxious about death and disease, and so I don't read the news because each day just reading the number of deaths and everything make me feel very anxious, and I can have some anxious crises, and you know, you have difficulties to breathe, and you think, oh, maybe I'm sick.
Questions about life, death, change are never far away during a time of calamity. These questions beckon us to reassess our ways, ponder about righting wrongs, as well as reflect on our place and track record in the world as a species.
Yeah, speaking about existential questions and ponderings, just been thinking, of course we have a lot of time to think, just about, you know, the world and society. In the bad days, I'm thinking, okay, so is this the beginning of the general collapse of the world and humanity? And in the better days, I'm thinking, okay, so maybe we, like, as humans, we will start constructing a new society, like taking, you know, like taking the lessons of the hard times we've just been through. But I'm not so positive about it the next day, you know. I'm thinking everything is just gonna go back to normal and like always, and you know, we're just running to the end. I don't know. It's it's also a bit
For me, I think there is two lessons humanity should understand after that, but it will not happen because humanity is stupid. But for the first one is that it's about our environment, about Earth, because I think all this crisis is because we didn't respect enough the Earth and the environment. And the second is about equality in the society, because in the crisis we can see very deep the inequalities, because some people are just taking some holidays during the lockdown because they can't afford it, but some people are losing their job. Some people have to work in the supermarket, in the hospital, or just for to collect the bin,
the
trash. They have to work. They don't have the choice. They cannot be locked down. So there is a real and strong equalities and inequalities that we can see, and that should be a lesson for the world after the crisis.
Then there's the question of time. We read it subjectively, especially when we don't have any social activity to weigh it up against. The reality that was a few weeks ago, meaning work, play, mobility, it's replaced with a brand new reality where time is a combination of static and incremental movements. To subvert this loop, can a newly adopted routine suffice?
For us, to be locked down every day is very, very, very strange after 1 year of traveling all around the world. So we were in a complete freedom, complete mobility, and from one day to another, we are locked down. So it's very strange to come back to Paris, and it's like we are blocked in time between the travel and coming back to reality. We cannot come back to reality for now. It's really strange.
I have the same sensation of like suspended time, more than, you know, I don't know, people. So some people are finding this time very long, you know. But for me, it doesn't feel like 3 weeks. It just feels like one day that doesn't stop, you know, like a suspended time. And for me, it really depends on the weeks. I had weeks where I was going crazy just to be inside and not being able to go out. And so you just, you know, stay in your bed and think about the fact that you cannot go out and you really feel bad about it. And I've had other weeks, especially the first weeks. So for us, it was also a special moment coming back home after 1 year. So the first week, it was more like, okay, it actually feels good to be home, to have time for yourself at home, you know, to clean shit, to just take care of stuff you don't have time to take care in like real life. So yeah, I think, and as the containment lasts, I think we're all gonna have bad weeks, good weeks, and you know, bad days, yeah. Good days. We're trying to have a routine, you know, like I think a lot of people, like I personally wake up every morning to do some yoga to start the day, and you also do some sports.
Yeah, I wake up every day. I start by writing for 1 hour on a novel project, and then I do 1 hour sports, and it's very, I think, important to have this kind of schedule.
Yeah.
The future. What is life to be like post-corona? What should it be like? Where is the silver lining? All questions. All hints of hope and aspiration about starting over by Camille Diao and Christophe Payet.
I really hope at the end of this period we can find some joy in a sense. The joy to be like back outside, back together. We're all going through difficult times. So I really hope when this thing ends, we'd still get to find, you know, the joy to be back to life. And we can remember it as a good moment, the moment when we were liberated. I hope that as a person, but also as a society in France, as a country, and also as the humanity, the whole humanity, we can really learn lessons from this strange period and change the way we live together.
Travel beyond borders is at this moment a pipe dream. But that is not to say it's unattainable through other means. That Skype call or a WhatsApp message to connect with kin and friends can prove to be more transcendental than we think. It can forge solidarity. Camille and Christophe, like most of us, are physically grounded, but their hope for the next wave of being speaks volumes. So whilst you yourself hope about a better outcome, I'll be sure to check in on you. This podcast wouldn't be a real mixtape if I didn't thank the community of Creative Commons beat makers, in this instance, Rod Hamilton and Tiffany Seal. I brought the rhymes and they the beats. I am Kagiso Mnisi. This has been Checking In. On the next episode of Checking In, we connect with ghostwriter and author of the post-apocalyptic novel Dub Steps, Andrew Miller. We talk influencers, the numbers game of COVID-19, and ask whether South African domestic employment will ever have a moral framework during and post-corona.
What I'm seeing is, in front of our eyes, the gap between rich and poor just widening even more. You know, and this thing hasn't even started yet, and the ramifications of what's going on haven't even taken root yet. But you can already see the world separating even further out between those with fiber and those without.